This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. In Iraq today, a ceasefire takes shape in Najaf as fighters loyal to cleric Muqtada al-Sadr are admonished to lay down their arms and be thanked for a job well done. Carl Vick is a reporter for The Washington Post and joins us from Najaf. Mr. Vick, thanks for being with us.
Sure thing.
And how successful does this disarmament appear to be right now?
Well, I mean, it's successful to the extent that the fighters who were surrounding the mosque and defending the sort of core of Najaf against this, you know, three-week onslaught by U.S. forces have given up the guns they had for the most part. I mean, they did make a big pile of them in front of Muqtada Sadr's office yesterday before noon. Others were seen sort of being carted away for safekeeping somewhere else. But checkpoints were set up, and when the fighters left Najaf yesterday, as they did for their homes in Baghdad and other cities in the south of Iraq, most of them were not armed. Most of the guns stayed behind. All that said, it's Iraq. The place is one big ammo dump, in the words of a British diplomat. And you can buy the weapons of choice for the Mahdi Army, rocket-propelled grenades for $3 to $5 on the market, and a Kalashnikov for $50. So it's not hard to rearm.
Uh-huh. If they're moved to pick up the gun again, they have the means.
Exactly.
Muqtada al-Sadr has been given an amnesty in the ceasefire deal that was brokered by the Grand Ayatollah Sistani. At this moment, do you have any understanding of what Mr. al-Sadr now is going to do in the government that's taking shape, in public events that are swirling in Iraq?
Nobody knows that. I don't think there's any indication that he plans to take part in the government, that he plans to give up his jihad or his militia uprising, insurgency, really, against the government that the Americans and the United Nations helped to put in place here. They've been saying, look how big our tent is, all is forgiven, just turn your movement into a political movement. He has rejected that consistently. We haven't heard from him in more than a week. So no one knows exactly what's on his mind, but doesn't seem to be moving in the direction that the government wants him to.
Mm-hmm. Is his hand strengthened by this agreement, the fact that the Ayatollah Sistani had to come back from heart surgery in London to deal with him?
I don't get the feeling, just reading what's been in the Baghdad papers and from what, you know, the military says their intelligence picks up, that he's gotten a huge boost from this. The shrine was very nearly, you know, the most sacred and beloved place in Iraq was put in danger because of him, and Sistani sort of was seen as having rescued that. So Sistani's stock is up. I don't know if Sadr's is.
You're embedded with U.S. Marines. Do they feel this is the end of it? Everybody shakes hands and comes out with their arms around each other?
By no means. I mean, you don't hear a really sharp grumping about this because they'd had so many starts and stops in the last 3 weeks. It's sort of like a truncated ending like this, and something less than a full climax was half expected. And they're glad they didn't have to go into the shrine with all the dangers of that, or take Iraqi troops into the shrine. But they really expect they'll be fighting the same people, maybe in Sadr City, the slum in eastern Baghdad that's really Sadr's base, maybe somewhere else in the south. But they think this is, you know, Groundhog Day.
Carl Vick, reporter for The Washington Post in Najaf. Thanks very much.
Sure thing.